listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to A Biblical Response. This is the 11th of March of 2025, imagine.
And it's our 14th show.
It's our 14th show. Thank you.
You know, I'm like a scribe, so I always take notes.
And hallelujah, thank you. Anne is our brain, actually, among all of us here. And thank you for that. So I'm going to introduce our co-host first, and then we have a jam-packed studio full of wonderful people.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That we're going to be introducing. Anne's going to actually introduce them and open up the program with our theme for today. But first, I'm going to talk about Ed in a minute. Ed is not our part of this team, but we're praying for him. So,
yeah.
But I want to welcome Keith Masters.
Good morning.
Keith.
Good morning.
You get the award, you know, for driving the greatest distance to come
here.
Yeah,
well, you know, I feel disheveled today. I feel like
okay.
Grandpa. I look like Grandpa today. It's been a busy week.
I understand, man.
I've got the four-day growth going on my face here.
Well, look at my face crying out loud.
But yours
several
is a beard.
Weeks.
Mine is stubble, so.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Hey, but stubble is in.
Rushing around. So
stubble is in.
Stubble looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
The Clint Eastwood look.
Right. Yeah, why not? And Ann Limhoco, of course.
Yeah, good morning.
Long time.
I'm really excited for today's program.
I am too.
I really am. And you know what? We pray for all our guests, like who we want on this program.
We do.
And these group of students happen to be in Florida for their spring break.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
that's right. And we're grateful.
It's a God-ordained program.
It is a God-ordained program. I'm grateful that you chose to spend part of your spring break here with us and sharing as the Lord would lead.
This is the highlight of our spring break.
Thank you, Abby. Yeah.
Before Ann, I'm going to give it to Ann to get us started by doing introductions and then introducing the theme for today. But Ann also is a co-host with me on the Monday program of The Frontline.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another co-host, Ed Skiba, who has been out with some serious health issues. And we've been praying for Ed, and I want to have a little prayer for him, too.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
To tell you, those who have been praying, that Ed is doing much better. We almost lost him about a week ago.
I know.
Two codes while they were trying to fix the stent
in his heart.
And his artery.
Mm.
He is now coming out of that. He's now moved out of ICU.
Praise God.
He's into regular floor. Actually, he's in a bed, not on the floor. People always use, in the hospital terms,
hospital
on the floor means a regular bed as opposed to an intensive care unit.
Yeah.
So he is there. He's going to be receiving some therapy. God willing, maybe that'll be enough to get him moving around, but he's been laying on his back for over a week. And he's another venerable guy like you and me. Only he's got a few years on
him
than us.
He likes to say venerable is old. That's what he likes
old,
to do.
Venerable,
so
right.
I'm trying to explain it to our young college students what that means.
Yes, that's how old people talk about themselves.
I am not old.
You're not.
Anyway, we're going to have a prayer for Ed, right?
We're going to have a prayer for Ed as soon
really
as I
quickly.
Stop laughing. Keith, man, I'm with you there right there. My wife always gets on me for, I joke about it.
The Lord gives us Proverbs 18:21, Power of life and death is in the tongue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So I will never
Amen.
Call myself
speak
old.
Life.
Never.
That's who I have a friend of mine who is, he's in his late 50s, but his daily claim is that he has the body of a 21-year-old athlete.
Amen.
Yeah, it could be like that.
Amen.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, I better do the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's pray for Ed, and then I'll turn it over to Ann. Father God, mm-hmm. we are so thankful that you have really poured out the riches of your grace for healing for Ed, and that you have blessed so many medical professionals that have surrounded him, bringing their healing gifts to bear in Ed's life, their experience as well, and that Ed is now at a point when he is getting better every day, and that your hand is still on him. We still need to pray for every day that he receives more and more strength, that Father, you restore his muscles and his tendons that have been really atrophied over the last few days because of not being able to move around, being sedated even. But Lord, restore him, get him out of that bed, get him walking and moving, and restore him to his family, and also, Lord, to his ministries, of which there are many. And restore him to, especially because we are certainly prejudiced, restore him to that co-chair's, co-host chair for the Monday program.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, Ann, introduce us to this exciting group of people.
I'm looking at these wonderful, beautiful college students who I've had the pleasure of getting to know, of course, outside of my nephew Zachary, who I've known since birth. But we have a special treat for you today from the studio. And who we have in the studio is five University of Minnesota college students and one who just recently graduated in December. And one of them happens to be my nephew, Zachary, and he and his friends are here in Florida for spring break. Mm. So they're right in the middle of spring break. They still have a couple more days to go before they have to go back to that cold weather. Mm. But they're maximizing the warm weather. They're going to hit the beach right afterwards.
Fantastic.
So we thought that this would be a great opportunity to talk to them about college life and maintaining their faith in college. And I wanted to pull up some statistics to begin the program, and then let's just have a conversation. But it's no secret that large universities, they espouse left-wing ideologies, okay? Especially ones that are in large cities. And they go to University of Minnesota, which is in Minneapolis, a very large city. A survey from 2022 of almost 1,500 professors at four-year U.S. colleges and universities, and this was a survey done by the Foundation of Individual Rights and Expression, revealed that 50% of professors identify as liberal, 17% as moderate, and 26% as conservative. That's a high percentage. Mm-hmm. When I was in school in the 90s at Indiana University, it was not that high. In addition, we have seen the rise of unbiblical ideologies such as diversity, equity, and inclusion. We've talked about that on the program. Mm. And here's a statistic that I told them on the way here. According to a 2024 report by Speech First, two-thirds of U.S. colleges and universities require students to take DEI courses to graduate. Mm. And it is no secret that many public universities have become hotbeds for liberal thought. And that's why the presence of Christian ministries on campus is so integral. Mm. And the five of them here, they all met through the SALT Network. They'll talk about that later. And then Barna Research, that's a Christian research institute. This is what I was talking about on the way here. I'm sorry, I misspoke. They estimate that roughly 70% of high school students who enter college as professing Christians will leave with little to no faith. Mm-hmm. That's a huge amount. And I wanted to just, have a conversation with that. Talk about that, talk about different topics that the Spirit brings up. And the one question I want to ask you after I have you guys introduce yourselves is it difficult to maintain your faith in college? Mm-hmm. So first, let's introduce each one of them. I'll let them introduce themselves. I'll start off with my nephew, Zachary. And if you could just say your name. I know I just said Zachary's name. Yeah. What year you're going to be in college, and then what's your major? Because their major affects the kinds of university professors they have. So mm-hmm. that's why I'm having them do that. So Zachary, I'll let you start.
Hey guys, my name is Zach. I am Ann's nephew. I go to the University of Minnesota. I'm going to be a senior next fall, and I study computer science.
Mm.
Hi, good morning. I'm Abby, and I'm a senior this semester, and I'm studying accounting.
And she's graduating, right?
May. Yeah, in May.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hi, I'm Gideon. I'm a freshman, and I'm studying mechanical engineering.
Good morning, I'm Ella. I'm also graduating in May. I'm a senior, and I'm studying computer engineering.
Hi, I'm Angela. I'm the one who just graduated, and I'm a finance major.
All right.
She actually starts her job like the day after they get back to Minneapolis.
That's yeah.
Wonderful. So, yeah.
Hold it. You're going to live in Minneapolis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you from Minnesota?
Yes, I'm from St. Paul, Minneapolis. Okay.
All of them are except Abby. She's from a suburb of Chicago, Naperville, which was close to where I lived. I'm from Glenview, so about 40 minutes away.
Okay. So I just want to share real fast. I lived 3 years in North Dakota, so I'm familiar with the territory and the atmosphere.
So
I lived in Minot for 3 years.
Well,
I lived in Minot for 3 years. Well,
that's when they do the weather. They always talk about the coldest spot in America is Minot.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know where Minot is.
It's pretty cold.
I'm from Chicago.
Well, if you look for a lot of ice, that's where it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to share that with you guys.
So, whoever wants to speak, but how did you all meet? And now, you guys are very close. It's your core group, and you traveled on spring break together. So, tell me how you all met.
Yeah, so all of us met through the Campus Ministry Salt Company on the University of Minnesota's campus. And actually, the three of us, Angela, Ella, and I, we've been friends since freshman year, and now we're all seniors or graduated. And we met through that ministry. Just they have a really big like freshman ministry, and so they do like freshman Fridays for us, and that's how we all met. And then, Gideon, we just met this year. He's a freshman. but it's been an honor being able to lead. I'm on the freshman leadership team, and so that's kind of how I met Gideon. And
why don't you talk about the Salt Company? Because I don't know if our audience knows. It's mostly a campus ministry, I think, started in Iowa, right?
Yes.
University of Iowa campus, mainly in Midwestern states. But it's moving, because I know there's one chapter, right, Abby, in Florida, or a couple in Florida?
Florida.
So talk about
Oregon.
The Salt Company, because it's for all the universities and colleges in Minneapolis. It's not just for the U.
No.
So tell us about that and our audience.
So they started in Iowa, I think at Iowa State, actually. That's like where the biggest one is at Ames.
1984, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. Yes.
that's what we were talking about on the car ride here. Yeah.
What does that stand for anyway? Salt, what is it? The salt?
It's to salt be the salt, the salt of the earth in the Bible.
Oh,
so
salt
it's not
of the earth.
It's not,
so it's not an acronym.
It's not an acronym.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. All right.
But yeah, so they've been moving into more states because they want to, you know, have these college students like actually know who Jesus is, and like what you're saying, like there's a cultural Christianity involved, and we're actually teaching them like, hey, like this actually looks like to have relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been so eye-opening. At least the University of Minnesota, we used to have a Salt Minneapolis and a Salt St. Paul, and now we've combined, and now it's like over 700 800 people come
every week.
It's a lot of people in our
talk
building.
About the structure. So when do you meet, and then you have small groups?
So on Thursday nights we all come together, and that's when we do worship, we have a sermon, we connect with each other, and then throughout the week you have small groups, and that's when, you know, you just get to talk about life. It's not necessarily like a Bible study, but you get to confess with one another, you get to be super vulnerable with each other and just grow in relationship.
That's a beautiful ministry,
that
I'm
is.
Telling you. And with that 70%
that.
Number that they talk about, salt is integral. And we need to pray for ministries like that. I had Campus Crusade when I was at Indiana University. But Salt Company seems to be, my niece, who's at the University of Madison, she is Wisconsin-Madison as a freshman, and she's involved in salt as well. But,
We're going to take a break, so we don't want to, I'd love to get deeper into salt. And then another question I'd like us to deal with and getting you to respond is, what if you've had any interactions on campus with some of the I'm trying to think of a nice name, some of the left-leaning groups, let's put it that way. If you've had that experience, what was it like? Anyway, let's take a break.
Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Welcome back to A Biblical Response, and if you've been listening, you know we have a vital, vibrant group of college-age folk here attending the University of Minnesota, right?
Yep.
And our ones just graduated, but still close enough to the experience to have some great, all Christian folk here.
Yeah.
Since we've been talking over time about issues college campus, we've also been talking about revival breaking out on college the last couple of years especially, so... before we move to the next point of discussion, if you'd like to call the station and get on the air and ask a question of any one of our folk here, but don't ask me because I don't really know anything. They know everything. The number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Call in, there's someone to answer the phone. They'll pipe you right into the studio. But during the break, we had, or actually before we went on the break, I had postulated that it might be interesting to hear from our Christian folk here what interactions they might have had with some of the left-leaning individuals or groups on campus and how that went. You know, so with that in mind, I'm just going to throw it out.
Yeah, I can take that one. As Ann mentioned, this is Ella. As Ann mentioned earlier, a lot of us have to take, a lot of universities have to take a DEI requirement for everyone to graduate, and that is true of University of Minnesota. I took mine when I was a freshman or going into freshman year, and it was really interesting because it was about like race and power in the United States, and we had a different final exam if you were white or if you were not white. Because it was very focused on critical race theory and this idea that if you're white, therefore you are an oppressor. And so it was like a 10-page final paper and project research thing that we had to do. And for me, if you were white, you had to write, your prompt was, how have you oppressed people of color?
Wow.
And if you were not white, like literally anything else, how have white people oppressed you? You had to write 10 pages on that.
10 pages.
Yeah. And it, like with experience, and you had to interview people. And so like I interviewed my dad and we were like, what the heck is this thing?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, like I tried to think about it. I was like, I don't think I've done anything like this is ridiculous. And so, I mean, I wasn't as into my faith at that time. So unfortunately I wasn't able to, or I didn't have the mindset of how can I work Christianity into this. And I wish I don't wish upon myself to have to do that again. But if I did, I would have like to work that in and kind of, you know, get my viewpoint in there too. But I was more of the viewpoint of, okay, let's just get this done so I don't have to think about it anymore. But that was probably the most in my face experience that I've had. A lot of the people in my classes too are very left leaning. I have a couple very vocal people in the classes that the people that have kind of stuck with me a lot in my classes.
And what's your major again?
I'm in computer engineering, which kind of shocked me that this was the environment I was around. But there were some people who are very vocally anti-Christian and are very loud about, oh, if I ever find out that I'm talking to a Christian, I'm going to, you know, sabotage their grades or I'm going to steal their homework or whatever. I don't know. Like,
is it that? Is it that like vocal like that?
It's not typically. I was really surprised to hear that. And these aren't the people that I naturally gravitate towards in my classes, but it's what I hear a lot of the time going on. But every once in a while I'll have conversations and some of the same people have told me, Ella, it's like really nice to talk to you. I just feel this peace when I'm having this conversation with you. And I'm like, well, it's because of Jesus. Yeah, exactly. Like, you're sitting here like, I don't, like, yes, I'm a Christian, but at the same time, you're so against that. So it's just weird because they don't even know what they're saying, but they feel so strongly about it at the same time.
Yeah. Is it your, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but is there any impression on your end that they're simply repeating talking points that someone has given them?
Yeah, for sure. I know a decent amount of what I feel politically and on that side, and I can back that up. And there's a lot of people who aren't that way. They just, like you said, like they're fed talking points and what they're supposed to believe, and then they just take that to heart and they don't know anything past that. So if I've come into conversations with people where I know actually about what I'm talking about, and they just have their same points, and so I'll dig deeper. I'm like, okay, why do you think that? And they're like, oh, well, I don't really know why. I was just told that. And I was like, okay, we can't have a conversation then.
Well, but does that realization that they're using talking point, they're not thinking on their own, does that ever disturb them to some degree?
No, which is shocking. It seems like it should, but it doesn't. They're just like, no, this is what I believe, and that's what it's going to be, and I'm done talking to you. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Had any situations or experiences? Abby, you talked about if you're really vocal, you can be canceled. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I feel like being on a public university campus, naturally, it's going to be more progressive and like left-leaning just because we're in Minneapolis. But I think that it's still very possible to have conversations with other people and like go forward with the mindset that, okay, Jesus loves everybody and everybody is a child of God and we're all image bearers of God. And so coming into that conversation with like being open to listening and seeking to understand, I have found is really important. And I've been able to bring people to church from all spectrums of the political sides.
Yeah.
And it's been really great to be able to have those conversations with the different people, different perspectives, and even different religions. I just recently met a girl who's Islam, and it's been really awesome building that friendship with her and like learning more about her side and where she's coming from and gaining that trust so that I can be able to share the gospel with her.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful. And that's
so beautiful.
That's the the essence of Christian evangelism. And Keith, you're a street preacher and you're out there all the time, and you don't know who you're going to run into, and you get people different attitudes. But having heard you witness to how God uses you to speak to all kinds
of
folks,
them on the streets, Keith,
and
out there,
hearing Abby share this, that's the core, isn't it?
It is the core. And it is the core, and I'm just the way that she has the patience, because it's coming. Islam, as much as we know that it's not the right religion, you want to save them, and it needs time and patience, which is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you need, you need patience. I have a friend of mine who goes to the abortion clinics and shares the gospel, and we've been talking about this. Yeah, and this is really, I wish he could be listening right now, because his demeanor is a little bit more upset than it is being patient with the love that these people don't have. And that's what we have to do.
We can't evangelize as mean people.
Right. We have to open our hearts.
Yep.
We have to open our hearts. And that's really in the patience of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's how God controls the situation and how God opens up the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's conviction, not condemnation.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
But I don't create conviction, but I let God use me to give me the words
and the Holy Spirit
Holy Spirit to guide me into a relationship where I'm going to basically, he's going to give me the ability to love somebody I'm talking to, and they're going to feel that, because it's God's love, it's
right,
not mine,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm a mediator. I just had a situation on Saturday, taking my son to a baseball game, and I wanted to be out sharing the gospel, but I'm taking my son to the game at the same time, and my wife is with me, and we get off the exit of 95. I'm heading south to north, and I get off the exit, and I go up. The exit is a ramp, and there's a car that's stalled at the light of the exit. There's a car stalled. It's blowing. The radiator is coming out all over the place. And as I made the turn, I looked at the driver, and as I made the turn, I just thought, the Lord put on my heart, I've got to come back and help this person.
Mm.
So I went and I dropped my son off at the game, and I dropped my wife off at the same time. I dropped my son and my wife off at the game. I came back to help this person. The Lord put this on my heart, and the car was still there, and I see him walking down the road. He's going to a gas station. So we, long story, because it is, long story short, I wound up getting the car towed for him back to his house. Wow. He knows the Lord. He knows the Lord.
Okay.
But he hasn't been baptized, but he knows the Lord. He was in a motorcycle accident, and the Lord, he was supposed to be dead. The doctors thought that he was going to be dead.
Hmm.
And this happened on Saturday. So for me, we shared the gospel. But the Lord told me to go there, and this person, whose name happened to be Zach, by the way, his name is Zach, yeah, and he was just amazed that God brought somebody there to help him, because he was beside himself,
yeah.
And he was a young guy.
Wow.
So it's right. So this is just something that happened on a Saturday in your life, and as we listen to the Lord, as we listen to the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, guiding our steps, which is what you're doing, and it was absolutely amazing. So
that's great, Keith.
Yeah. 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 Well, yeah, and just that God, you know, Jesus lives, right? It's all about, you know, living with Jesus, living in Jesus. It's just amazing what he does with us.
Yeah.
And the key, I think the key that's exciting to me is that he'll use us wherever we are.
That's right.
Because wherever we are, there are need. People need to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
And the environments we're in sometimes are challenging,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's the best place to serve the Lord, you know, is because every call that God puts on us is a challenge.
You know, I'm just going to, I want to just continuation of this, because it's just, people need to see how much God is alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things is, okay, now I'm going to miss my son's game. No big deal, right? I mean, it's not a big deal. I'm doing what the Lord is telling me to do at this point. Yeah. And then after, I go and talk to Babu, who is in the store. At the gas station that we got the car to, okay? No joke, this is the guy's name. He's a Muslim. Babu is a Muslim. And we started talking about Jesus inside the store. Now, Babu knows, who's a Muslim, knows about Jesus, but he doesn't know that Jesus is his Lord and Savior. He thinks that Jesus is just a prophet or just somebody in, you know.
A good person.
Right.
Yep.
So now, this guy's waiting for a tow truck, the Lord tells me, go inside, and I start talking to Babu. I go and give Babu the scripture, because he says, show me where Jesus is God, right? So I go and give
him
scripture.
That's one of their first questions.
So I'm giving this to Babu, and Babu says, okay. Babu takes a picture of the scripture out of the Bible, right? So he said, I'll study it. I said, okay. I come out of the store. Here comes the pickup truck,
tow truck.
Thank you. I'm getting excited here, because it's amazing what God did here.
Yeah.
The tow truck. So Zach gets his car. I get to go back to the game. And just as I get back to the game, do you know my son's just getting up to bat for the first time?
Oh, wow.
That's how the
timing.
Lord works it out.
Timing God's of God is timing. Just absolutely amazing.
That's thank you. That's a great story.
I mean, it's God all over it.
It is God all over it. And that, you know, again, tells us, for those of us that haven't been on college campus in a long time, looking at what's going on, and we're going to take a break in about 30 seconds, but looking what's going on is, I got to tell you, I was a campus minister for 10 years in Gainesville, University of Florida. And, you know, it was basically the same as it is now. Not as egregious, maybe, in terms of the left holding sway and putting a lot of pressure, but it was still there and very difficult. The school itself made it difficult to bring Christ on campus, although we got on there anyway, because that's Jesus. But but I now, several decades apart from that, when I look at that, I say, golly, I'm not sure I'd want to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he's sending me to other places. But the point is, there's still a need for Christ on campus, even more so than there ever was.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at you, and I'm saying, praise God, you're there,
mm-hmm.
and the others like you, because you're not just five people at the University of Minnesota. There's a bunch of more, and we want to talk a little more about that. But right now, we're going to take
the break.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring. Always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back to A Biblical Response. We are at the bottom of the hour, so we have another 30 minutes or a little bit less maybe, where we have a chance to let our guests share what life on as Christians on the college campus is all about. You can call in if you have a question or a comment, 772-221-1100 is the number. That's 772-221-1100. And there was a question.
Yeah, we were just talking on the break, and I was wondering, how do you, as college students or recent college graduate, Angela, how do you share the Lord day to day on campus, or how do you display the love of God where you are? You're in the middle of how many students are at the U? It's huge. It's like 30,000. How many?
30,000.
Oh, I thought
plus.
It was more than
it's
that.
50.
I thought it was way more
it's
than
like
that.
30,000 undergrad, I think, and then a lot more
for graduate students, right, Zachary? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Does anybody have any stories to share about that?
Yeah, I do. This is Angela. Well, one, I just want to say, like, there are so many times when you feel like you can't share the gospel. It's like, oh, like, I want to, like, share this with this person, but, like, I'm not actually able to have the opportunity to, and that's when, like, the fruits of the Spirit come in, and, like, mm-hmm. the Lord, like, really shines, like, through you. I mean, he's in us, you know, and so mm-hmm. in our weakness, like, we are strong because
amen.
Of him.
Amen, amen.
And I just have a story where that is exactly it. That's what happened. My sophomore year, I was just in like a regular class and we had a group project. And mm-hmm. There's this woman named Amber that I was just in class with. And mm-hmm. it didn't seem like anything at the time, but we ended up like the next year, we have this thing called iCorps where you have to take four classes and it's with like a cohort. So you're with the same people the whole time.
Okay.
And me and her just like, coincidentally like had all the same classes that next semester, and it was like cool, really cool. Mm-hmm. And I just like took it upon myself to just like really love her well and like mm-hmm. love my classmates well.
Yeah.
And then going into that next semester, remember, like, I'm not thinking anything of this. Mm-hmm. She texts me out of the blue, and we're in all the same group projects. Like, we sit next to each other in class, and she texts me. She goes, so, like, you're religious, right? I was like, I don't know how to answer that question.
Because that could be sometimes, like, a negative term, yes, religious. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm a believer of Christ. Like, yes, like, I love Jesus. What's going on? And she just asked, like, I just really want to know more about Christianity and know more about the faith. Wow. And I was like, okay, like, come to church with me. Like, I'll get you a Bible. Like, and mind you, I've never, like, discipled someone who, like, who's never known anything about God or Jesus. And so it was just so beautiful to see, like, okay, we go to church. I'm like, how was it? She's like, it was great. I'm like, okay. And giving her first Bible and, like, seeing her, like, literally hold it and being like, oh, is this like for me? Is this mine? Like, she took, like, she didn't know anything about it, and it was so precious to her already.
Wow.
And within like a month, I kid you not, this woman, she just is speaking like she knows God so mm-hmm. beautifully. And I'm doing nothing really. Like, I am just loving her well. I'm guiding her through the Bible. This is how you read the Bible. This is who Abraham is, Moses, Jesus, you know.
The whole crew, yeah.
Gave her the gospel, and she had been going through a lot of like hard stuff, and she pulled me aside one day during class. She's like, Angela, I need you to pray for me. We are like in a public building. Yeah. I'm praying over her.
Wow.
And she's just like, Angela, the Lord has been guarding my heart. He's been giving me strength. He's been guiding me. Mind you, she's known the Lord now for not even a month.
Wow.
And
a radical transformation.
Radical transformation. Yeah. It was so beautiful. And we still, like, I texted her this morning. Like, we are still really good friends. And I asked her, I was like, why were you so curious about this? And she said, Angela, like, you showed me something that I had not seen in any other religion. Mm. Like, you showed me joy. You showed me what true kindness and love look like.
The fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea I was doing that. Because I feel like the enemy, too, loves to make us insecure and have guilt and shame for when we are weak. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, like, you're not being kind right now. Oh, you're not doing this and this. But the Lord's Spirit still shines in those moments even more.
Yes.
During those moments. And so I didn't even know, like, I was being super joyful or loving towards her.
Because it just automatically comes out. You don't have to do anything,
I don't have
Angela.
To do a thing.
I see it in all of you guys, all five of you, when you're at the house. All of you.
You know,
all
of you. It's I just, somebody texted me this morning before the show, and they asked me if I had a prayer for them. And the Lord put it on my heart, and what I shared with them was Matthew 11, verses 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. But I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's exactly what Jesus did for your friend.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter the time, right? It doesn't matter the time frame. Right, she came to the Lord. She came seeking the Lord, and the Lord answered her.
Yeah, and the cool, like, the whole thing is so cool.
It is, isn't
but
it?
What's even more special with it is that I had been interceding for people, and like every day, adding three names, just saying like, Lord, who do you want me to pray for today?
Really?
And I would just like pray through the list every single day. Like I would add three more, and I would pray through the list. She was part of the first three I started praying for that first semester when I met her.
That's so intense. You're so intentional about evangelizing. So intentional. Mm-hmm. Talk about, has Salt taught you methods? You talked about MTC, Abby, I don't know what that is, but are they very intentional in helping you share the gospel? What does Salt help you prepare you to do that? It's not easy.
No.
I mean, of course, like, you're just naturally loving, and that's, they see the love of God in you, and that story is just beautiful. But, like, you know, being intentional, and I, three of them are going to different countries this summer to on missions trips.
Mission trips.
We could talk about what Salt does, and then let's get into the missions trips, because I think that's great that you guys are going on that.
Yeah, so the
Zachary's
whole point
over here shaking his head.
My nephew's gonna be in India.
Please, he's Mr. Custer, in India. I don't wanna go.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah, well, so the whole point of Salt, right, is to bring Jesus to the campus. And a lot of us, most of us here are leaders or were leaders or going to be leaders in Salt. And what that means is that the first week of every school year, we do this thing called MTC, which is Mission to Campus. All of us come to school a week early before school even starts. Mm-hmm. And every day, starting at, I don't know, 10 a.m., 9 a.m., we go out, we pray together, and then we split up and we go and evangelize to the campus, meet students. And that's how we met. Ella and I are co-leaders of a campus group where we meet once a week with girls, talk about life, confess sin. And
it's like 30 freshmen or something, you said, in the dorms?
We have about like 15 girls that come weekly.
Okay.
And so, yeah, through that MTC, we've met a lot of the girls who weren't believers and now are coming every week on Thursdays, on Wednesdays, to hear about Jesus. Like, they're hungry and they want to know God, and they know that there's nothing else that can fill their life but Jesus.
Yeah. MTC is really fun because it, like, obviously you can have straight up gospel conversations with people, but there are people who are searching for God and don't know it yet. So MTC, they do a lot of fun events too. Like, there's this one girl in our C group who asks the best questions every week and is super curious, but
I love that.
I don't really know if she would have chosen to join Salt if she knew she was like exactly what she was walking into at the beginning. And the reason that she met me is Zalt had some had a pancake party, and long story short, there were people that were like wrestling in pancake batter, and it was like a whole deal. And I was one of those people because they needed girls, and so it was like I met her and taught her how to play spike ball and everything. And then she sees me in the pool of pancake batter, and she's like, "I'm joining that girl C group." And so like MTC is fun because they have things like that where people who maybe wouldn't take that first step of I'm going to join a small group, they're like, "Oh, I'm going to go and get to know that person more."
Yeah,
because it's relational. Sharing the gospel and having a relationship, I think, is so key.
It's critical.
You know what I mean? It's critical. Yeah. They built a trust with them.
So Abby was, you briefly touched that you were on a freshman program that you go and recruit through freshmen.
Yeah.
And that's how you met Gideon.
I think so, yeah.
So, what is that? What do you do there? Do you go and rope them in and tie them in? What do you do?
Yeah, we kidnap them.
Right, exactly.
No. Poor Gideon's being pissed off.
Yeah, so Gideon, like, were you a believer when you got on campus, or did you come to know Jesus when you got to campus?
Well, I'd say I've been raised Christian, but didn't have, like, a practicing faith. But when I got to campus is when I really started, like reading the Bible and, like, being in a community full of Christians.
So okay. Salt Company strengthened your faith.
Yes.
And how did you find Abby, or how did Abby find you? How did the Lord put you two together?
At, like, the kickoff, I think, they had a big QR code on the screen for a freshman group chat, and then from that, the leaders would organize events for the freshmen.
Oh, okay.
And with my nephew, Zachary, he went on a spring break trip. What year was it, Zachary, that you met all them, met Abby, and then got really involved? I don't think you could go first semester because you had a lab on Thursday nights, Zachary.
Yeah, I mean,
but got involved after that. This Salt has really strengthened your faith.
Yeah, for sure. I'm similar to Gideon. I grew up like Christian, quote unquote, but I didn't really.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
Until I started going to Salt Company, but me, Abby, Angela, and Ella, yeah, like four of us here, not Gideon. He's a little freshman. My freshman year, which was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
For spring break, we went to Tennessee, like, through Salt Company.
Yeah.
And that's where I met all of them and, like, all of our, like, best friends, I'll say. And that's where I, like, really found Christian community. Because I, like, went on that trip. I hadn't gone to church at college yet.
Mm-hmm.
And my roommate Ryan told me about the spring break trip through Salt Company. And I was like, oh, I'll go. I don't know a single person except for you.
Yeah.
And I'll just say yes and go. And that's where I, like, I met Jesus and I met all these, like, people and gained community. And that's where my, like, life was, like, being transformed by Jesus.
Mm. I think I could cry because that's my nephew.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of him. I'm proud of my nephew, and I'm proud of, so sorry. And I'm so glad to meet Abby's his girlfriend. I hope that's okay to say on air. They lead a God-honoring relationship. They're staring at my parents this week. And when they get up, they go into the lanai and they have their devotions in the lanai. I mean, it's just so beautiful how mature, and I'm going to say kids because you guys are older, they're much younger than me, but how mature they are in the Lord.
Very much so.
Do you know what I mean? And to see their faith just so strengthened. I know that you guys are going to be going on some missions trips this summer. Why do that? You're graduating. Why not start a job? Zachary, why not do an internship? The Lord called you to do these things. So why?
Yeah, I mean, I just think for me, it's a great commission. Like, go out and spread the gospel, that idea. Yeah, so I'm going to Mumbai. And I think the motto, I don't know if it's necessarily the motto for MTC, but the way to, like, meet college students and spread the gospel is, like, through another college student.
Yeah.
So that's our idea for missions, too. So we have Abby's team is going to Kazakhstan. Ella's is to Spain, and mine is to Mumbai and India. And yeah, we're just going to go out to the college campus and make friends and spread the gospel.
How long are those trips for?
6 to 7 weeks. They start, like, right after the school year ends, like in May.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good substantial.
I know. And they chose to do that. They chose to do that.
That's awesome.
They put some roots into the ground over there.
Yeah.
Well, I know the whole world is a mission field, and God's people are going, and it's just incredible. I think there's a lot more movement in mission fields.
Well, right. You know, it's amazing. Compared to what you're watching on TV and the news and what they broadcast, they're broadcasting the all the disruptions that are going on how unfairly they're being treated. But you don't get to see the goodness that's going on the college campuses and the sharing of the gospel.
You don't, and that's maybe a point we'll get back to.
Yeah, they're sharing the darkness. They want you to see the darkness instead of the light.
Well, Legacy News isn't going to share anything that brings joy. Talk about the work of Christ, you know, and the people. That's just not going to happen. Anyway, they will report when Christians fall.
Yeah.
They love to do that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hello, this is Luke Lewis.
I'm Tiffany Young, and we're with Treasure Coast Realty Group. Join us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for our show, Keeping It Real Estate.
We'll cover everything from getting you ready to purchase a home to sharing programs that help with closing costs and tips to sell your home hassle-free.
Plus, we'll dive into local market conditions, have special guests, and take your calls live on the air.
Don't miss this power-packed show to help you achieve your real estate goals. See you then.
Welcome back to Biblical Response. This is the last 15 minutes of our program today. It's just amazing how time flies.
Yeah.
Really, I found whether you're having fun or not, but it's even better if you're having fun. We are having fun here with five wonderful, God-filled college-age folk. And I just want to say, I'm going to turn it back over to Ann, who's going to kick off our closing commentary in this last 15 minutes. You can still call if you have time, if you have a question or a comment, you know, for any of our people. Here at 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100.
Yeah, for the last 15 minutes, let's see where the Lord takes us. But I was wondering, we have a lot of audience, a lot of listeners who may be older parents, grandparents' age. What advice would you give them on how they may talk to their children or grandchildren about the Lord if they don't know the Lord? Anything that you can think of, advice?
Yeah.
And this is Angela?
Yeah, this is Angela. Sorry. Honestly, I would say just showing them what your priority is.
Mm.
Because I know for myself, like, I remember being in high school, my parents would try to bring certain things up, and anger would just, like, come. Like, bitterness would come. Because, you know, there's this, like, this place of, like, rebellion. I want to be rebellious against what my parents say. But my parents, like, they absolutely love the Lord. I love them so much. And it was through, like, them showing, like, God, like, Jesus is my best friend. Like, Jesus is the love of my life that I truly have seen the Lord. And I have five older siblings, much older than me.
Wow.
My oldest sibling is 37. My youngest sibling's 30. I'm 22.
Oh, my.
And, like, my parents love the Lord, but a lot of my siblings don't. A lot of my siblings have gone through drug addiction, alcohol, just, like being agnostic, just, like, not following Jesus. And my parents have just held on so tightly to the Lord, to the word of the to the point where my siblings who have fallen away are like, I can see how, like, how beautifully, like, they hold on to, like, to the Lord and, like, their relationship with Jesus, and, like, how like, how are they so joyful with all the mistakes that I have done has been a lot of, like, what my siblings have said. So I would say, like, number one, like, showing them, like, Jesus is your life.
So being an example.
Yes.
You don't even have to speak, but your life lives it
out. But, like, that also means, like, not not avoiding, like, you know, prayer. Like, when we get together as a family, my dad will, like, he's praying. He is, like, on Easter, like, he is telling the whole story. My dad, like, literally made, like, the cross, like, same dimensions of, like, the cross. He puts it in front of our house, like.
Oh, wow.
And, like, a lot of my family, again, are, like, aren't believers. And he's, like, I don't care. Like, he is he's not going to weary away. He's not going to avoid the conversation, but he's just going to be, he's going to be truthful with you. Like, if you say, like, hey, like, how's your day? He's going to be like, oh, the Lord has blessed me so much today. Like, he's going to be truthful with that.
Yeah.
I would say, also, like, just be praying for them always, interceding. 'Cause again, like, as parents, like, you want to be able to do everything for your kids, and mm-hmm. like, you want them to serve the Lord, but like, you can't make that decision for them. Mm-hmm. You're not in that control, and it's actually giving your kids to the Lord.
Yes.
And okay. saying, God, like, yes. I'm surrendering my kids to mm-hmm. you.
And they're his anyways.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He'll take care of them more than anyone else can.
And as the father of a 13-year-old, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know? To just let go and let God.
Absolutely.
You know? So.
Yeah, I really like how you said prayer. There's so much power in prayer.
Yes.
And expectant prayer. And, yes. you know, if my mom tells me one thing, I'm going to do the exact opposite. Sorry, mom. But, no, seriously, like, leading out an example and praying, I have seen work so much in my life and in my brother's life. And looking back, mm-hmm. It's really hard to, like, control your kids. They're not going to do what you tell them to
do. And you shouldn't control them, yeah.
Right, exactly. So just trusting God, and like what Angela said, everything she said is is perfect. Just like surrendering them and trusting that God will you work in their hearts.
Amen. Yes. And I just got one question, because you guys are all graduating, right?
The four of you. Gideon's a freshman and Zachary's a junior.
Oh, okay. So, because I was going to ask Gideon. Yeah, I was going to ask Gideon, what's he going to do? Because everybody's going away. He's got younger friends.
I think he's got his younger friends, right?
You got more people that.
I got to know a lot of people, like leaders, just because I met my other leaders and met other leaders from them. But there's also like a massive freshman core group that all hangs out like several times a week.
Okay.
So we all have lots of hangouts often.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of accountability for everybody over
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And then Salt is connected to a church, so they go to church, Redemption Church at the U, right?
Yeah, Redemption.
Yeah.
Shout out to
how far are you guys away from this? They got Sharia law going over in Minnesota, right?
The what?
No.
They don't? In Muslim community over there?
I don't think
Was that just false info?
I don't think so.
Where you can't drive through up in Minnesota, there's no Muslim neighborhoods that the police weren't allowed to drive through? Was that just their say?
I don't know.
What's it like over there? But that's what we need to do, is share the gospel more and let that word spread out.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? Anything that you want to say? Has it been hard to maintain your faith in college? We don't have a lot of time left, but has this experience, I mean, college, you see a lot of kids who fall, but you guys have just, your faith is strengthened, mm-hmm. right? Zachary's talked about that. Gideon's talked about that. Ella, you've talked about that, you know?
Yeah.
And how do you maintain that in college?
I think that, this is Ella again, I think that community is just the biggest thing. Because it's so hard to, you can love Jesus so much, but if no one around you is, then it's so easy to fall away from that. And that is the unfortunate truth for so many people. But I think that Salt has been super helpful for all of us, growing our faith and bringing each other together and helping us to know that it's not just us. We can know that in our heart, that we know that there are so many Christians out there, but it's so easy to forget that if it's not also in front of you. And then just in general, I think that it's way more productive to bring up Jesus than it is to talk down everything else.
I agree.
And this applies to everything. Like, while we're on our missions trips evangelizing to people, or if you're a parent or a grandparent speaking to your kids, or if you're talking to your classmates, like, in general, just, we are not here to bring down everything else and talk about how we're better. We're talking about how Jesus has saved us, that we are no better, but Jesus did the work for us.
Yes.
And that is what changes people. And we're not gonna, realistically, we can't expect ourselves to fall into these conversations and to convince people and to change their minds of, oh, this is why your stuff is wrong.
Yeah.
We're not gonna, we can't expect people to just fall in line with that. But if we say, no, like, Jesus changed my life. I thought that too once, and I was like that once too.
Got a call coming in there.
Let's take this one call.
Sure.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Pastor David. This is Anne-Marie Calderon.
Yes, Anne-Marie.
From the direction to these college students and thanking them for their ministry. But I have a question. There's a lot of college students out there that came up from a Christian home. And through circumstances of maybe divorce or a broken family situation or struggle, these kids are really hurting big time, and they even have been wounded in church. Mm-hmm. How do they reach out to them? What's their plan of action when they find them to be maybe possibly very questionable or suspicious or whatever? How do they relate that? Could you please share that for those of us parents that are concerned about our kids that may be growing up now in their 30s and struggling with their
That's a good question.
Yeah. Who'd like to field that, answer that?
I'm Angela, and so I have a lot of siblings who, as I said, were in like drug addiction. Lost, and just not knowing like what the right way is, and as like us as like college students, like coming up to them and just being able to say like, hey, I understand that you're hurting, and like I've been here too in some way or another, and just being able to just love on them so well and be able to say like, hey, like I know somebody who's way worth like more worth it, like I know I know that there's pain in this life, like, and I'm not promising you that pain won't like leave. Like we are actually like
in a fallen world.
In a fallen world, and like they said, like as Christians, like we will actually be persecuted more, but it's this place of there's actually so much more joy with Christ, and like he's worthy of the cost. And so I would say like for like for like kids who are struggling, like as a parent, honestly just bringing them near you, and like there's like bringing peace around them. We can't always control our situations, we truly cannot. But just like bringing like love and affection and like peace around them and praying around them, because God is truly, he is the only one who can change your circumstances.
Amen.
Yeah,
he's the only one who can do it.
Yeah.
And like just being vulnerable with that and saying like, hey, I don't know.
Yeah,
like
be real.
Yes, be real, because I feel like we want to always have the answer.
Yeah.
And we don't.
Yeah.
We have to say, be able to say, I don't know what the answer is, but I know someone who does.
Amen.
You know, this morning, the Spirit just put on me, the woman with the issue of blood went to Jesus. Yeah. She went to Jesus to touch him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the guy at the well, the guy, the lame at the well, he's been waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
He waited for the Lord, and the Lord came to him.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus was up in the tree. He wanted to get close to Jesus.
Yep.
And that's the only way that he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that prayer brings those people. God opens the door. God opens the door to their heart.
Amen.
And the people have to come and draw near to Jesus, as he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. Amen. And we have a minute or so before we close, and I'm going to just ask our listeners, ask you to pray. You may know someone who is a student in college, or maybe even they teach, you know, because we lift up the staff as well.
Absolutely.
Probably more so sometimes.
Yeah.
But to really make it an intentional part of your prayer to lift up the college campuses. Now, God can handle if you want him to lift to every college campus all over the world. He can handle that. Mm-hmm. Or you might have a particular campus in mind. You may have some relatives that are on campus.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, is that people need prayer. We need to pray for them.
Yeah.
We can't sit back and assume there's someone praying on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Although there might be, but we got to join in that. At least the minimal response is to pray. And in that, the one thing that we know about how the church moves is we don't send out Lone Ranger Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Paul went out, but he had a crew.
Yeah.
He had a community.
Mm-hmm.
And as he went out and shared the gospel and churches were formed, communities were formed, and indigenous leaders were, you know, were raised up in those communities, and then they were trained and discipled, and then they moved on. But we must pray for the community of the church to be raised up and nourished on the campuses, and for those communities that surround the church to also, those churches and parachurch communities, to also be raised up, to be blessed, to nourish the ministry on campuses.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my word. We got to close. I just had to get that in. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you so much.
What a great gift. I just, the Lord bless them in their work and endeavors. And
amen.
Yeah, God bless you all.
Yeah.
You guys have been great.
Sadly, we have to go.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week for another program. God bless you all. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com.